What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles D. Hamilton. Quick episode today. John Wall gets injured. Cousins has some things to say about it. Steve Kerr talks about his mentor, Greg Popovich, and the job he's doing this year. And trade deadline. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? Not a lot of news today, as the Warriors oddly have 3 days off between games, between that Lakers game Saturday night and this Wednesday game against the Spurs. Spurs lost to the Kings last night in Sacramento, which, by the way, quick side note, I am looking forward to this Warriors-Kings game on the 21st. I think it's going to be a good one. The Kings are an exciting young team, and they just beat the Sixers and the Spurs and played the Warriors well. It would be nice to have a little NorCal rivalry, actual rivalry, between the Kings and the Dubs. But anyway, Spurs, like I said, lost to the Kings. Playing all right, but still not, you know, what they were. They obviously lost one of the best players in the league and replaced him with DeMar DeRozan, who's fine. Spurs are fine, but not the juggernaut that they've been over the last 20 years. I want to touch on something immediately that is, I don't know, I don't want to say funny because, you know, John Wall did get hurt, but the way he got hurt is pretty random, and there's usually more to these things. It kind of reminds me of the Monte Ellis thing, where we find out he was riding a moped and fell, but John Wall ruptured his Achilles in a fall at home recently, as he was already out for the year with a different injury, is now out for at least the rest of this year and possibly the entire next season with a ruptured Achilles tendon. And that just, it sucks. Sucks for John and the Wizards to an extent. This is terrible of me to say, but look, they've played better without John Wall. So maybe the product on the court will be a little more, cohesive. But the bottom line is you're going to have a max contract guy sitting on the sidelines for a year plus. And it's really too bad. I hate injuries. I hate having to report on it. The circumstances are a little weird, like I said, and, you know, compared it to the Monte thing, who knows? Maybe he did just have a nasty fall at home and says he heard a pop. And I mean, it doesn't matter what he heard. It's a ruptured Achilles tendon. That's for sure. That's confirmed. So it's a tough one. DeMarcus Cousins, who was teammates with John Wall, friends with John Wall, was asked about it. He also suffered the same injury, not in a fall at home, though. He suffered it playing basketball. Cousins was asked about it. Here's what he had to say regarding his friend's unfortunate injury.
Yeah, I talked to him this morning. It's unfortunate. But me knowing John, you know, as well as I do, I know he'll overcome this. There's no doubt in my mind about that. He's overcome a lot of hard obstacles in his life, and prepared to, you know, just add this to the list.
What's kind of like your early advice, though, and knowing what those early days are like?
It's different. It's a different situation for different people. Some people's mental are different, but like I said, I know John pretty well, so he's a pretty mentally strong guy. So, I basically just told him, prepare for the hard days because it's a lot of them. Through it all, just try to make sure you better yourself each day. And once that day's behind you, just move on to the next, regardless of the results. So, that was my advice. And like I said, there's no doubt in my mind he'll overcome it.
So there's Cousins on John Wall's injury. Not a ton there. Kind of just the same sentiment I think a lot of people have. Just it sucks. It's terrible. Hopefully he'll be fine, be able to fight through it. I do like what he said, though. You got just a tiny glimpse into the rehab of just, you know, prepare for the hard days. And once that day's over, put it behind you and move on to the next. And it's simple. And, you know, there's not a ton to it, but that's just, that's what it is. And I know that's cliche, but it's the truth. You just have to get through it. Don't dwell on it and move on to the next one. So, tough news for John Wall and the Wizards. Not much more to say. Doubt they'll be looking to make a move or anything. This could affect the Otto Porter situation, just that the fact that they'll be without John Wall for the next year, plus it could either affect it to the point where they say, all right, well, then we have to keep Otto Porter because he's a good player and we have to keep him around. Or does this accelerate them saying, all right, we need to clear the shelves and tank for the next year and a half while John Wall's out, you know, hopefully get a top pick to pair with him when he comes back, or not even pair with him, just have, because who knows how John Wall will come back after this injury. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, do they decide to, you know, try and be the best they can with the players they have, or do they try and move on, try and tank, basically be a seller, move Bradley Beal, Otto Porter, Trevor Ariza, you know, whoever else they can get something for, and just try and move forward and with young assets and hope they can get, you know, a top pick moving forward, because you're going to be without John Wall. That's a lock for the next year and a half, probably the entire next season. So try and get as high a pick you can this year and then basically try and tank next year. I mean, I think we're all a little too quick to go with the tank, but man, that's the way I'm leaning right now, because even with the injury, they're still going to have the same luxury tax problems that they were going to have with a healthy John Wall. So even with John Wall hurt, they're still going to have crazy luxury tax problems that they were going to have before. We'll see. We'll wait and see if they decide to do it this year, you know, before this trade deadline or during the summer. But right now, they're under 500 at 22-31. If I'm a rival GM, or I mean, not even a rival, if I'm just a GM of another team, I'm calling the Wizards right now and gauging what it would take to get Beal, to get Porter, to get Ariza. And as far as the Warriors are concerned, if they can't get something for Trevor Ariza within the next day or two, you know, before the deadline, he could be a buyout option. And again, we talked about Wesley Matthews, some of the bigs that could be out there. Ariza would be the number one guy for me. But we already saw him get traded once. I think he'd get traded again. Something we'll have to keep an eye on with the Wizards. And then potentially with the Warriors, depending on who gets bought out in Washington. Going to take a quick break, come back. Steve Kerr was asked about Greg Popovich, his mentor, and his team, the San Antonio Spurs, who the Warriors will play on Wednesday. And he had some pretty glowing things that I'm sure we could all have guessed. But he also went deep on the Spurs team this year. Going to talk about that next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? Another slow day in Warriors world because no game. They have 3 days off in between these last two games. They played the Lakers on Saturday and the Spurs on Wednesday. So they're just chilling right now. But they did have a shoot-around today. Steve Kerr was there, obviously. He was asked about his mentor, Greg Popovich, and the Spurs team, and he had some interesting things to say. He went pretty deep on it. Here's Steve Kerr's response.
I don't get the sense that, you know, he's anywhere close to stepping down. But and again, I've never asked him. But I just know how much he loves coaching. Obviously, he's got the Olympics in 2 years. I'm excited to be part of that. But it's, you know, it's obviously his life, whatever process he goes through to make those decisions, he'll go through. But he's still going strong, still loves what he does. So I imagine he'll keep doing it for a while.
What have you thought about them this year? They had that bad start where it looked like they might kind of be out of the playoffs, and now they're sitting there?
Just typical Spurs, you know, they adapt and adjust constantly, whether it's injury or roster turnover, style of play. There have been probably four or five iterations of the Spurs in the last two decades, to me that's maybe Pop's biggest strength, and he's got a lot of them, but maybe his biggest strength is just being able to constantly adapt. We used to practice harder than anybody in the league. Pop was the first one to start resting guys and cancel shoot-arounds, because he recognized what his team needed and he recognized where sports science was going. So his ability to adapt and adjust, he's always kind of ahead of the curve.
You like him leaning into like the mid-range game, kind of away from the trend of the
league. But you know, I don't think there's any math to it. I think Bob just said, I've got LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. They're great mid-range shooters, so let's do that. You know, it's not anything that's earth-shattering. It's just you adapt to your personnel, and you have to adapt your offense and your style to suit your personnel. But it's not an easy thing to do because you grow very comfortable doing something as a coach. And you kind of want to keep doing the same thing because it's been successful, but you've got to adapt and adjust.
So there's Steve on Greg Popovich, initially talking about whether he thinks he'll retire or not. And it's funny because I was watching last night's game against the Kings that they ended up losing, and was just wondering, like, yeah, I wonder if he wished he went out with Tim Duncan, you know, called it when Tim Duncan, or with Manu, you know, decided to hang him up when those guys did. But the guy loves coaching. And after, you know, not to get too personal, but the tragic passing of his wife last year, it's one of those things where, you know, coaching and basketball is his passion, his something he can, you know, lose himself in. Similar to Andy Reid, who had a tragic situation, you know, the passing of his son many years ago. And people thought Andy Reid would take time off. And what he did, he doubled down into coaching. And you know, we see the same with Greg Popovich. And he brought up the Olympics. Did Steve Kerr, and that's something that, you know, Pop will stick around for as well. So I just thought it was interesting to bring that up because I hadn't really thought of it until last night, you know, whether he'd be calling it quits anytime soon. As far as the team's concerned in the mid-range game and all that, I mean, Steve Kerr nailed it. Like, you have LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. Why wouldn't you, you know, use the mid-range game as much as possible with those two? Why would you force two guys who can't shoot threes to shoot threes? And the other thing is, they are the best three-point shooting team as far as three-point percentage goes. They're shooting 40% from three. The problem is they take the least in the league. Now, they should be jacking up that number a little bit more, especially when Bryn Forbes, Davis Bertans, Marco Bellinelli, they're all lighting it up. But either way, percentage-wise, they're still number one in the league. But they do take the lead. So that's kind of where the problem lies. But I agree with Kerr. If you have two great mid-range shooters and they're your best players, that's kind of the way you have to go. And he talked about the way the Spurs adapt and change. It's kind of similar to the Patriots. And I know that's an easy kind of whatever comparison, especially with the Super Bowl. But if you watch the Patriots, they adapt game to game as to what they're going to do. And you see that with the Spurs a little bit. More season to season, more personnel-wise, but it's similar. Don't want to break down the game yet because we still have another day until we get there. So I want to move on to the trade deadline, which will not affect the Warriors directly, just meaning they're most likely not going to make a trade. I'd be pretty surprised. The last player-for-player involved trade they made was Kent Bazemore and Marshawn Brooks for Steve Blake, which didn't quite work out. I remember when that happened, we were all, or I was at least, hoping for it. We got him. He was fine, but he wasn't the savior or anything. He didn't change the fortunes of the Warriors or anything like that. So I the correct thing for the Warriors to do in this situation is wait for the buyouts, see who's out there, see who they can get, whether it's a big or a wing. Depending on what wings are bought out, if it's Wesley Matthews and Trevor Ariza, I would prefer one of those. But, you know, there's no guarantee the Warriors will be able to get them. If it's a big like Robin Lopez or Dwayne Dedman or DeAndre Jordan, one of those would be good too. But again, we just don't know who's going to be out there and who would agree to come to the Warriors. A little bit of trade scuttlebutt. Yeah, that's right. That happened today was we know about the Anthony Davis talks and we know about some of the bigger players that are out there. We know Mike Conley and Pau Gasol are both being shopped by Memphis, which is kind of weird, but just weird because they've been there their entire careers. Not that they should hang on to him anymore, but, you know, a player who has spent the entire career in one place getting moved is, it's different. But the one we heard about today, which could affect the Warriors down the line and down the line in the NBA Finals, is Memphis and Toronto are talking for Mike Conley, for Kyle Lowry, and Jonas Valanciunas. And it wouldn't, I think it would be an upgrade for Toronto. It wouldn't completely worry me as a Warriors fan as far as potentially meeting them in the finals, especially with Conley's injury history. But let's just assume Conley's healthy and plays for Toronto the rest of the year. This hasn't happened yet, by the way. This is all speculation and just trade talk right now. But I think that would be an upgrade for Toronto. And I think it would work better than what they have. Kyle Lowry started off hot. Hasn't been great as of late. And I like Toronto being aggressive, looking to make a move to go for it this year. And not only try and go for it this year as in winning the title, but go for it as in we got to keep Kawhi somehow. So I like what they're trying to do. If this somehow goes through, I would think it'd be an upgrade for Toronto. Wouldn't immediately scare me, though, as that massive of an upgrade, so to speak. But I just thought that was an interesting one that was out there today. And then this has got to be the daily AD update. The Magic. I keep doing that with Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson is making much more substantial offers when it comes to AD. And the Pelicans are standing firm. They want to be, I think as Mark Stein said it, not just compensated, they want to be overcompensated for the leverage that they have. And the fact that they're using their leverage, I respect it. For a team that has really been mismanaged and done a really bad job of building a team, I think they're doing the right thing in this situation. They have the leverage. They have the most attractive trade chip in all of basketball over the last, I don't know, 10 years, 20 years. I mean, you can say it was Chris Paul or Paul George or any of the other stars that have moved recently. Sorry, a 25-year-old Anthony Davis is a much more valuable, attractive trade chip than any of these other stars. And that's, I mean, that's as much of a fact as you can get. So the fact that they are holding firm, they know they don't have to trade them for another year at least. They're saying, look, you, if you want Anthony Davis so bad, you better open up the cabinets. You are giving us all your young players, and you're giving us like 5 or 6 draft picks. And I love it. I think they're doing absolutely the right thing. I think a lot of these superstars have been traded for undervalue recently. And part of that is the situation. Not a lot of these guys have been traded with a year plus left on their contract, but I think New Orleans is doing a great job of seeing, of knowing their situation and knowing the leverage that they have. And one last thing I want to throw out there, because I have been bashing the Lakers young players, or not bashing, I just think that there's better trade offers out there, even if you offer up all of them, even if you are offering Kuzma, Hart, Ball, Ingram, Zubats, you know, Svi, friggin' Wagner, all of them. I wouldn't be as intrigued by them as I would, say, Jason Tatum. But I will say that OKC trade for Paul George, where the Pacers got Oladipo and Sabonis, I rolled my eyes at that. I said, I can't believe they got Paul George for that little. And it turns out Oladipo and Sabonis are studs. So there's a chance that some of these young players with the Lakers could get in a different situation and reach their full potential, become the types of players that the Lakers thought when they drafted them. But that's not a guarantee. So, as I've said, I think the Boston Celtics will have the best offer that they can't make until July for some weird little quirk in the CBA. I hate the CBA, man. It is way too convoluted to really understand everything. But whatever. I don't have to. Just a lot of it. This is Locked On Warriors. Going to come back, do some League Pass picks, and wrap this thing up. Coming up next on Locked On Warriors on Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just about to wrap this thing up. Been a pretty mellow episode with the Warriors being off for 3 days, and they don't take on the Spurs till tomorrow night. So just, you know, a little NBA news, a little trade news. Nothing too crazy. As far as League Pass picks are concerned, 8 games in the NBA tonight. Not a lot of great ones. The one that stands out for sure is Raptors-Sixers. Raptors, as we know, 38-16, one of the best records in the game. Sixers are 34-19, been playing damn well as of late. They did beat the Warriors a couple days ago. Joel Embiid is a monster. So that'll be interesting to see, you know, because the Raptors don't have the size up front to deal with a guy like Joel Embiid. I'm not sure how it's going to work out. As far as the second game, there are some tough ones. I mean, Pistons, Knicks, T-Wolves, Grizzlies, Magic, Thunder, Heat, Trailblazers. I don't know. Celtics, Cavs, Clippers, Hornets. I guess Clippers, Hornets. We'll go with that one. Clippers, Hornets. Records somewhat similar. It doesn't have the star power that you look for, but two solid teams. Two solid teams. Kemba Walker is exciting to watch, and Lou Williams has the ability to go off for 50 any night of this season. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.